and welcome to Unwind and Align, your go-to podcast for all things wellness.
I'm Dr. Bethany Cannon.
And I'm Dr. Nikki Pearson. Together, we're here to guide you on a journey towards stress-free living and holistic well-being.
Each episode, we'll dive into topics to help you boost your overall wellness, all through the lens of chiropractic care and complementary practices.
So get ready to stress less and live more. It's time to unwind and align.
Yeah, do you guys have a favorite athlete all time you've ever watched?
Oh gosh.
Grew up watching, watching now.
Like, well, I don't know if he's like, he's not LeBron and he's not super fit, but he's my favorite and he would be Mark Grace. We called him Old Blue Eyes for the Cubs.
Oh, there you go.
But the stories of Mark Grace are not ones that you typically share of like your idol or they're pretty fun stories. More. But he's my favorite.
Nice.
I love him.
What's so great about him?
I don't know. I just loved him. I was a Cub fan my whole life. I grew up a Cub fan, and my family used to go hang out with him at the bar after spring training, and they'd...
Your family would hang out with him in the
bar?
Yeah,
they would like chain smoke cigarettes and drink cocktails.
Okay, that's awesome.
They like, and he...
A personal connection.
Yeah,
look at this.
They'd like belly up at the spring training bar after the games.
What about you, Bethany? Any athletes growing up?
When you said that, I was just thinking, I am jumping on the Jason Kelce bandwagon. Yes.
Oh,
he's
good.
Yeah.
That's
I mean... I like watching sports. I don't have like a, you know, I'm not a lifelong Cubs fan.
It's not by
anything
choice.
Like that. You're just born into it. Yeah. But no, I like all, I think he's a good person from just the interviews and all that kind of stuff. Like he's a guy that I feel like all the friends that I have would be just friends with.
You know, Tyler would be friends with
him. Tyler would be friends with him.
Yes.
He kind of reminds me of Tyler. Like he, like just the taking the shirt off and like that. Yeah.
That's what I thought of. I thought of Tyler.
It really is because he is like, he gets together with his friends and I like FaceTime him. He's like, it's shirt off Saturday. He like has his shirt off and I'm like, oh, for the love. Okay. Yeah.
Tyler and Mark would, they get into trouble together. They have fun.
Yeah.
They'd be like a Travis.
Yeah, they'd just be
Travis.
Not
and
Travis.
Jason. Travis and Jason.
Not Travis. No.
So sports are interesting because we watch them for entertainment. It's relaxing for them. It's like high stress, high stakes. But it's interesting because even though it's supposed to be entertainment and for something that's relaxing, I don't think that really is actually the case for most people with sports. I think it's more anxiety-inducing.
100%. Especially if you have, like, skin in the game. Like, you have a team that you're a fan. Like, it just breaks your heart more than anything.
Mm, are you all Nebraska Husker fans then?
No.
Oh.
Never.
We've lost all... Well, we cannot market this podcast in Nebraska now.
I'm sorry.
I think I have to be one. I'm not even a big Nebraska Husker fan.
No, you don't have to. We're not from Nebraska, and you don't have to jump on that bandwagon. I mean, we can say, like, yay, do good, but you don't have to.
Yeah, but someone has to if this podcast is going to grow.
Like,
okay. I was just telling our producer before the show, I'm like, yeah, I'm not that much of a fan. I'll be the fan of the one who pays me. And, well, now I have to be a Husker fan. Because
we're a big fan of the women's soccer team.
Yes.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Women's volleyball does pretty well.
Yeah, for sure.
They do well.
Women's softball is my favorite. Well, softball, like Nebraska softball. Jordy Ball came and turned that around. So,
Oh,
we like all the other Nebraska teams, I just don't really...
Not the big ones that everybody else likes.
Everyone likes the football team.
Yeah, that's true.
Why do you have to like what everyone likes? Yeah.
But we're not from here originally either. So
we have no
like,
ties
we grew up,
to...
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm from Iowa, so if anything, more Hawkeye fans in my
dear.
House.
Now we've really... So you're going to have to move your business to Iowa after this episode.
I'm from Illinois. Yeah. I'm not going to Iowa. I was always told I could never date somebody that was an Iowa fan. And my grandpa wasn't kidding.
Like he's burning all of the bridges.
Illinois, University of Illinois.
I think... Okay, yep. We're actually going there in a few days.
That's my team.
Yeah,
Well, they're awesome at basketball this year, aren't they?
They're really good. Yeah. They're doing good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
they do really well. They've got some good podcasts, if I do say so myself. Ooh. Moving on.
I hear they're produced really well.
that's a different podcast for another day. Back to this one, though. So, okay, sports, stressful. Do you get a lot of folks coming in here for adjustments that are athletes that you can just tell? Like, I always think of 17, 18-year-olds who are just not taking care of their body. And it's evident that I'm like, oh, you're going to have like lifelong issues because of not only the stress of the game, but the stress you're putting on your body. Do you ever see that? Do people walk through your doors with sports injuries often? Like, what does that look like?
Absolutely. I would say, injuries all around, but concussions are a big one, just with the competitiveness of a lot of different sports that you know, especially kids are entering into, and they're starting to get them younger and younger too. And just that repetitive nature of those traumas added on top of each other is really impactful on their body, not only short term, but long term too.
Mm. But I think just as important as the physical aspect of helping the sport or whatever they're doing, mm-hmm. it's the emotional stress of dealing with the pressures of sports these days, the pressure of trying to get recruited or trying to get to earn their spot. And it's just constant pressure. And everything we do helps your body adapt to stress. Mm-hmm. So the mental aspect, I think, is so important for athletes. Mm-hmm. They need to get checked. They need to get adjusted to make sure that their body can handle that load because it's intense.
Yeah.
And we've seen a lot of really, I don't know, some super stressful things happened to athletes in the last couple of years in this state, in Omaha, that haven't been able to handle the stress or the pressure or whatever mm-hmm. the reason. And if there's anything we can do to help that, I mean, that's really what I want to focus on.
So for folks who are listening today who think they know what stress is, you actually have a very real definition. So what is stress? Shaking their heads, both saying no. I know they have an answer. They have signage around here talking about what stress is and its impact on the body.
Well, I mean, stress comes in all different forms. There's physical, chemical, emotional types of stress, right? It's everything that our body and our nervous system experiences. And so it's the primary job of the nervous system to adapt and process all of that stress and figure out how to respond to it, how to react to it, and do it in an appropriate and a neurologically functional way. And so that's really what we focus on, and we measure how the body is handling stress. Is it adapting in the way that it should? Are there problems going on where it's not, it's kind of stuck more in that revved up, that survival mode, that fight or flight response. And that just causes a host of other problems when somebody's stuck in that response. So that's what we focus on neurologically, is how their body is processing and handling that stress and increasing their capability to handle it.
We take care of a top, he ended up being one of the top running backs in the state. And when he came in originally, his parents had sent him in for like low back pain, you know, just that kind of chronic low back, I'm a football player type of pain. And when you got in the room and talked to him, he was talking about more so the emotional stress that he deals with on a day-to-day basis in practice, pressure from the coach, pressure from the team, pressure to perform, pressure to be recruited. I mean, that's what we talked about. We didn't even talk about as much the physical aspect of it. And we're able to measure that to see how their body is handling stress, whether it's emotional stress, whether it's the physical stresses, whatever the case, we're measuring that. And then we're showing improvements on that because he had a phenomenal year. I mean, obviously just a fantastic season, and didn't have one complaint of chronic pain in his low back. Said he handled the season better. He handled the stress better. He felt better going into each game. I mean, those are the kind of things. That's why we want to take care of athletes.
Absolutely.
Do you think we place too much of an emphasis on sports here in the U.S. with like the youth? And
well, I think I can speak on that because my kids are 16, 14, and 12. So we're right in that. Mm-hmm. And the pressure to start committing to sports at a I hear the word travel ball and it kind of like makes me cringe because it's happening younger and younger. I mean, kids in mm-hmm. the first grade, 8U baseball, there's a traveling baseball team.
Didn't you say there was one for Coach Pitch?
Yeah, my sister's son is in a Coach Pitch traveling 8U baseball team that costs, I mean, it's intense. They practice probably more than my son, who's in sixth grade. So, I mean, it's just the pressure is significant. It's having an impact on our kids. And so it's trying to find a way to make sure that you're checking in with your kids. Well, for me, checking in with my kids, making sure that they're okay. Are they competing? Are they driving the ship? Are they competing at the level they want to compete mm-hmm. at? Not what they think we want them to, or everybody else, or their coaches, or their team. So we try to be really in tune with that. And obviously, chiropractic care is a huge, huge part in my kids' entire sports program for all of their sports.
Mm. Absolutely. I mean, I think it just can get out of hand if you let it get out of hand, right? And I think as parents, we have to decide, you know, ultimately make that decision of what's best for our kids too, and not push them too early, too soon, too much. Because also kids are specializing, right? Just picking one mm-hmm. sport super early and doing that one thing. Well, you know, I mean, just talk about mental burnout, you know, when they get to the time when they're competing at a high level, are they mentally burned out? Are they physically, you know, all this repetitive trauma injuring them at a point where, you know, they're not able to compete even if they wanted to.
Mm-hmm. My son's a, he's in sixth grade. So let's call it a competitive wrestler, if you will, because he's in sixth grade. But there's kids that he's wrestled, like the good kids, like the kids wrestling over 100 matches a year. Some of them aren't even wrestling. They've already quit. They're already burnout of the sport. And these are phenomenal little wrestlers that, you know, down the road would be good wrestlers in high school, and they're not even going to make it to high school because they're burnout. They're just, it's been too much for them. And everybody's different. And I'm not saying all youth sports. I don't want to put a bad name on youth sports, because my kids are all in pretty competitive youth sports. So it's not it's just, they need to drive the ship. They need to make the decisions. They need to push how they want to push themselves and not have other people or parents or adults kind of push them and make them, you know, want to train at a level that maybe they're not ready to.
Yeah.
That's more where the burnout comes from. Cause we kind of step back and let the kids we have to back off. My daughter, she's a pitcher and she had an overuse injury in her arm. We had to back her off because her practicing is it's her driving the ship. It's her pushing her body too much to try to keep up with people around her. So it's a lot. I think it's a whole different, entire different podcast that we could talk about for hours.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I used to run marathons. And in that time, I know I just wore my knees down at least 20 years more than I should have. Like, I lost 20 years of tread on those things. And I didn't know that running could do a lot of damage on your gut as well. And it can hurt your heart and can give you costochondritis and all these little things. And I'm like, I didn't even know what intercostal joints were or whatever. And there's so many musculoskeletal issues people get out of it, and IT band issues. So doing something like that and putting your body under that much stress not only can have immediate effects, but there are long-term injuries that people like myself and others that have sustained from competing on, you know, sports like that, that are just hard on the body. For yourselves, what do you just think? I mean, we haven't done any research on this, but maybe you already know. What do you think are the top three sports you see that put the most stress on the body?
Physical stress?
Yeah, physical stress, yes.
Well, and this isn't our opinion of the sport, so I don't want to give a sport a bad name, but I think we've seen a lot. The most traumas we've seen are probably soccer players.
I would say that would be in my top three.
Yeah, I would say that. I would say that would be the top injuries that we've probably seen over the years would be from soccer first. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be referrals from soccer players that have seen improvements. So yeah. I guess we can't.
You're just kind of in that world.
Yeah. Yes. So we're kind of in that soccer world, if you will. So I shouldn't say that sport, but we do know there are a lot of traumas from the sport of soccer. I mean, those girls are badass, boys and girls in soccer. I mean, it's
and it's a lot more physical than you might think. I mean, you kind of think it's the running repetitive nature of it, but the collisions, the head, I mean, like there's more, I think we've seen more concussions from soccer than any other sport.
What else would you say, Dr. B?
I mean, I would say football's up there, right? I mean.
Really?
I would put soccer over football.
Yeah.
But
I heard flag football can get really bad with injuries.
It's intense.
Yeah. Interesting. Did you know that flag football is, since I guess our producer Pete was telling me that whenever there's an Olympic team, they're like the country that hosts the Olympics, they get to add a sport. So I guess the United States added flag football.
I heard that too.
That's so cool. There's these videos of like, they're showing like when Tyreek Hill is running up against some, you know, plumber from Japan.
Oh, jeez. Like, isn't that what they did for the pro bowl game? Wasn't it a flag football game?
I think so.
This year?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's a good idea. I mean, it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Give them a little bit of difference, like vary it up a little bit.
The rest of the world's like, all right, we get it. Yeah. You guys have these athletes that are trained superheroes. In this.
Yeah.
Sure. Thanks, US. But hey, but people catch up. The rest of the world's catching up in basketball after we like destroyed everyone in the 90s. But it is cool. Like, that's a great way to gain exposure, right? Like, the US, we had our dream team. And then now there's a lot of the best players in the world aren't in the US. I would bet if you looked at the top 10 NBA players, a lot of them wouldn't be US citizens.
That's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah, it's something. So going back to sports injuries, stress on the body, the other thing is, too, with all these young athletes, you mentioned that pressure to perform,
yeah,
burning kids out, little 12-year-old wrestlers that are just like, I would rather look into my 401k and retire than keep pushing down this route. And there's a lot of pressure too. So I know a lot of D1 athletes who, mm-hmm, like, there's this pressure to find ways to make money, because really you're putting all your time and everything into the sport. You're, mm-hmm, not allowed to work. You're not allowed to do anything, but also you're kind of living in poverty if you do anything outside of the team. So do you ever see that? Like, just some of those people who were former athletes, where maybe that's kind of just like, I don't want to say warped their perspective of needing to perform and everything going into adulthood. But it can certainly, if you've done something like that, you're not going to just stop playing sports and be like, well, I'm just a happier person now. And if you're helping people manage stress, do you ever have those conversations with people to maybe help reset expectations and stuff? Because
I think it's hard too, because a lot of their identity gets tied into that sport, especially, mm-hmm, at that level, right? Yeah. If you're at a D1 level of an athlete, like, you've been doing that sport since you were a kid, and that's, absolutely, all that you've known. And so I think it would be mentally really hard for those people to then make that shift and be like, okay, I'm not doing this anymore. I need to figure out something else to do. But also trying to use the strengths that got them to that place, right?
Yes.
So they can use that competitive drive and, you know, hopefully channel it in a different way to be successful in another area, or tie those in so they can, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people become coaches afterwards, yep, too, just so they can still be involved in the game as they're, yep, not actively, you know, competitively playing anymore.
My father-in-law was a very successful executive in business. And one of the questions he asked, he was really great at finding talent. One of the things that he always asked for all of his interviews is, give an example of a time you were in a team sport and kind of what was your role? Because everyone he hired was in some kind of a team sport or an athletic, because that just showed their ability to work hard, their work ethic, their drive. And so that teaches kids so many great things, but then again, redirecting it, rechanneling it as they get older. But then also,
if you have a kid that, like you said, they're in sixth grade and they got burned out so much that they stopped playing the sport, yeah, now you're not getting the benefit, no, that you're seeing from, you know, the,
yes,
the team aspect of it, the hard work, yeah, the dedication. You're totally counteracting, mm-hmm, the benefit that, you know, yep, sports had in general.
The fun aspect of team sports is high school. I mean, I would say high school. And then potentially if they get the opportunity to play in college, if, yeah, they're not burnout, which is what we're seeing is a lot, yeah, of burnout, is to continue. And then if we can help them handle their stress better, handle the load, handle the pressure, the burnout, maybe there's a chance the burnout is less. Because they're able to handle stress better. They're able to handle that load, that pressure a little better.
Yeah. You know? Absolutely.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I'm watching Ted Lasso right now. I know we were talking about that.
My favorite show of all time.
It's my favorite. So good. It's so good.
We should show him our coffee, yes, that Melanie, who works here, her son-in-law, brews coffee at Hardy.
And roast
so,
coffee. Roast coffee.
Yeah, I'm, yep, sorry, roast. And so made three special blends for us that were all the Lasso Way, Coffee is Life, and,
oh,
yes, some other.
Mm-hmm. That's, yep, awesome. Yep. Well, I'm on season one. Jamie Trout just got traded.
Jamie Tart
just got traded. Yeah, which is fine. I mean, he's not supposed to be likable, and it worked. I don't like him.
Just hang on.
All right, hang on. All right.
I figured
something would happen there. But anyway, so I was watching that, and they try to get you to like him right before he gets traded. He goes off, and he says he brings in a pair of cleats because they have to like get rid of the ghosts that are haunting whatever their locker room. And he drops him in and he's like, yeah, I had these. And I forget what the significance was, but he says, yeah, my dad would always be at the games. Well, he prefaced actually by saying, my mom just wanted me to be happy playing the game and want to make her proud by just doing something I love. But my dad was on the sidelines with his friends and just saying, really only wanted to like show off the highlights. Whenever I didn't do well, he'd really come down on me basically for being weak and really, really intense with him. So he's like, I worked so hard to make sure he knew like I was tough. Everything I did was tough. He's like, I've worked so hard to do that I forgot to, you know, make my mom proud. And I think that's really interesting because I know a lot of kids like that where they don't love the game and they're super burnt out, but there's this pressure to perform for their family.
I know. It's kind of sad though, because what is that kid giving up, right? Maybe that kid is doing something that they don't really like to do. right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what are they sacrificing time with their friends, their family, you know, because they're diving into all of that on that sport. And are they, you know, just really digging themselves into a hole to make them completely unhappy?
Yeah.
Or is it going to manifest later in life, right? Mm-hmm. They're not showing it now, but, you know, some of those, you know, effects of stress long term are going to show up.
Totally.
I mean, my kids love to compete. Like, each of them in their individual sport. And the one thing that I try to do, because I'm not a coach, I don't coach these sports. I never played a ball sport in my life. I was a gymnast. So I have no idea how, I never even played a team sport. I'm kind of an individual. So I don't like balls flying at my face. So I really tried to.
Soundbite for the end of the episode. Oh man. I kind of hope that wasn't intentional.
I don't think it was. Intentional.
Like, we're just going to see how that plays back. And if I want to leave it in, we'll just see.
I just really wanted to say what I tell my kids afterward. So. I always tell my kids when they're done playing that I'm proud of them and I love watching them play.
Yeah.
And so we've always just said that on the way home is like, I love watching you play. I'm super proud of you. I love to watch you play. I hope you had fun when you played. And I try to do nothing about the sport because if they don't love it and they don't want to do it, I don't want them to do it. But but they do perform for them. Like they do love what they do. So I want them to.
When you're checking in with them a lot and asking, you know,
because if we don't like it, we're not going to do it. Because it's time, it's investment. I mean, we're not going to do it if you don't.
You'd end up maybe having a free weekend.
Well, that would be fun.
What a thing!
That would be
enjoyable. What a concept! What a
between
concept.
The three kids. Yeah.
So speaking of free weekends, there's someone listening to today, a young athlete or just an athlete in general, listening to this podcast, and they want to find some practical ways to help them unwind and align their lives and just stress a little bit less and live a little bit more. What can they do?
I mean, I would say try to do something that's out of their like normal routine, right? I mean, even if it's just going outside and going for a walk, like slow it down a little bit, right?
I want kids to take the day off. I want kids to go have fun with their friends. I want kids to be a normal teen or a normal whatever their age is, just to go do things for fun. Like step away. But if they are, ultimately, kids need to get checked if they're an athlete. I think it's so important. One, it improves performance. Two, it decreases their stress. Three, it reduces the risk of injury. And those are the three things that
increases their recovery. I mean,
yeah, recovery, crazy. Yeah, performance and recovery. Let's put those together. Mm-hmm. Decreases their stress, decreases risk of injury, or helps with recovery of injury. Any athlete needs to do it. There's a too much load on their body. It's just even get checked to do our neurological testing to see how their body is handling these loads.
Well, and one of the main ones that we do too is heart rate variability. And that's when you were talking about running a marathon. I mean, they're using that same technology to determine if somebody's overtraining, right?
Yeah.
So if you're overtraining and you're constantly running in that sympathetic response, now you know that your body is, you know, you need to take a step back. You need to change, you know, kind of the training level or what you're doing. And so that's the same type of testing that we're doing every day when every person comes into our office, right? Might not be a marathon runner that they're running, but it's like, is life getting you into that stress response mode, right? Do you need to take a step and see, you know, what's going on there and how you can help your body get out of that fight or flight response? Because there's no amount of healing that's going to be happening if the body's in a survival mode.
Mm-hmm. I wish we could track how many marathon runners we've seen, ultra marathon runners that I have low heart rate variability or not good, you know, a low score on heart rate variability. It's so common.
Mm-hmm.
And it was always shocking because.
Because you look, I mean, they look like the absolute fittest
2%
people.
Body fat.
Yeah.
You know,
which,
I'm not saying you should be. We clearly don't have 2% body fat. Not saying you should have that. But yeah, ultra marathon runners with not great scores. Yeah. So common.
I looked physically way more fit at one point in time, but I feel a lot better now. So for folks who maybe they were like me, they ran marathons or whatever else, and they decide chiropractic care, it's worth looking into. And they happen to live in Nebraska. They want to schedule a conversation just to talk to y'all. Where do they go?
You can head to our website, www.restorechiropracticcenter.com. It's a great resource to see all kinds of information about the first visit, what we do, send us a message, see if it's a good fit. And we love talking to people and answering all their questions and walking them through the process.
Sounds amazing. And it sounds a whole hell of a lot better than balls flying in your face. See you in a couple weeks.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Unwind and Align.
We hope you enjoyed diving into the world of wellness with us.
Remember, you can always find us on social media at Restore Chiropractic Center for more tips, resources, and updates.
If you have any questions or topics you'd like us to cover, don't hesitate to reach out.
Until next time, keep aligning your mind, body, and spirit for a healthier, happier you.
This is Dr. Nikki Pearson
and Dr. Bethany Cannon
signing off from Restore Chiropractic.
Stay well, everyone.